to get you there, okay?
Okay.
Are you still walking?
Yeah.
Are you almost home?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm confused. And I hate being confused. I mean, I love problems that I haven't solved yet. Like your website, that's fun for me.
You like puzzles.
Exactly, but this isn't a puzzle. Whatever his reasons are, they're just going to be bad. No matter what the answer is, if I ever figure it out, it's just going to be bad news. Something for me to reconcile. And I'm sick of reconciling shit when it comes to my dad. And that's if I ever even find out his reasoning, which is highly improbable right now.
Why?
Because I'm not going to tell him I saw him.
What? Wow, Cal, that's...
That's what we do in my family, Vera. We pretend like we don't see each other.
Oh, Cal.
You know, my mom speaks perfect Finnish, and my dad speaks English really well, but neither of them will speak it with me. When I'm with them, they completely ignore the other half of my life, of who I am. It's always been that way. Even when I was 6 years old, flying back and forth across the world, it was like the other half of my life didn't exist. Constantly. You know how confusing that is?
It must have been so confusing. And lonely.
I was homesick all the time, as in 100% of my life. My father spends almost my entire life pretending like America doesn't even exist, and now he's apparently here without telling me? You know what that tells me, Vera? It tells me it's not America that he was ignoring. It was me. It's that half of me.
No.
Are you crying?
No! Yes, I'm sorry.
Why are you crying?
Because that's so sad. And because I don't want you to feel that way. Homesick 100% of your life? Constantly denying half of who you are? You're the most wonderful person, Cal. So lovely and considerate and patient and sweet. I don't want to think of anyone hurting you. Let alone someone who should be caring for you and protecting you.
You're crying for me.
If your dad were here in front of me, I'd give him a wedgie. An atomic one.
I'm afraid to ask what an atomic wedgie is.
It's when you pull their underwear up so far you can jam it over their heads.
Only you could make me laugh at a moment like this. I'm home now, walking up the stairs to my apartment.
Okay. According to my phone, your dumplings and beer should be there in 15 minutes. Don't tip the guy. I took care of it through the app.
Hi, Jewel, sweet guy. I won't let anybody get you, I swear.
What'll you do tonight?
I'm going to eat some dumplings and drink some beer in 15 minutes. Doctor's orders.
And after that?
I'm going to put the finishing touches on your website and make it live.
Are you sure you have the space to do that tonight? You've just had a horrible shock.
Vera, I'm not letting my dumbass dad get in the way of launching your site. I'm fixing it tonight if it's literally the last thing I do. I swear, it'll be the perfect distraction for me.
Are you really not going to talk to your dad about this?
I mean... Do you think I should?
Well, I don't know. I'd never want to make things worse for you. But in general, burying stuff doesn't really work. Trust me, it just comes back to bite you in the ass later.
I wouldn't know what to say or how to say it. I'd be completely underwater.
I would help you. I mean, not like with Laura, because it would be weird to have me in your ear for a conversation like that. But... we could practice what you wanted to say. We could write it down. Index cards or a PowerPoint. Make a little presentation so that it would all be organized and polished and you wouldn't have to worry about messing anything up or leaving anything out. Cal? You there? Sorry, did I overstep? I don't mean to push you.
Vera.
Yeah?
You have to read my email to you. Please.
Oh,
I know you're avoiding it, and I'm sure you have your reasons, but you have to know the truth. I can't keep hoping. I can't keep wanting. Please. I just have to know what you think. Okay?
Okay.
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 Okay, then.
Do you think we'll ever say any other word again, Cal?
I'm hoping you'll read that email, call me up, and say a lot of words.
Okay.
Oh, my dumplings and beer arrived early. I'm gonna answer the door.
Bye, Cal.
Bye, Vera.
Chapter 11. Later Thursday night. Cal. The call clicks off. I accept the delivery at my door before turning around and sinking to the ground. I grab the back of my head. I am assuming the position they tell you to assume when the plane's going down. My chest is filled with Vera. My head is filled with my father. Before I can stop myself, I'm clicking through my photos. I go back to last July. It's the last time I saw my dad in person, 10 months ago in Finland. And there's not even a picture of the two of us from that trip, just one of him from the back. We'd gone on a long hike together, and I took a photo of him looking out at the vista. When I'm with him, all I get is his back. He's not a verbose man, mostly quiet except for these rare moments when he gets in a mood and can be intensely funny, sharp. When we're apart, it's when he's in those moments that he calls me. It's always been something I've been proud of, that when he gets like that, worked up and energetic and wants to laugh with someone, I'm the one he calls. Our relationship exists on those phone calls. But this picture is an important reminder. Those moments are not who he is, at least not exclusively. Being with him, side by side with him, can be an extremely lonely experience. He can go quiet for days. He plays dozens of instruments, and sometimes those would be the only noises he'd make for an entire day in my childhood. He's the one who put a flute in my hands when I was 8. He's the one who showed me how to play it. I used to think that that was enough. Hysterical phone calls once a month, one or two late-night jam sessions whenever we got together, silence in between. But seeing him on the street today, here without even telling me, 10 months, and his back walking away from me on the street is all I get? It broke something in my gut. This is wrong. The way he and I interact is wrong. You shouldn't be homesick for someone when they're standing directly in front of you. Being with someone you love should fill you with light and warmth. And I don't mean that in a fairy tale sort of way. I mean that in a baseline sort of way. My mother isn't perfect by any means, but when I'm with her, I'm really with her. I'm warm and protected and often annoyed, but safe. No wind whistles through the cave. Time with my dad is a snowy landscape. Pretty, campfire every couple of miles, but mostly a frozen blue. I sit up and look at my phone, black and quiet in my hands. Being with Vera fills me with light and warmth. And I've never even seen her in person. Her smile has been a burning ember in my gut since the one and only time I've ever glimpsed it. I wonder what it would be like to sit next to that smile, to sun myself in that heat. She's probably reading the email right this very second.
Vera. As soon as my phone goes dark from Cal's call, I sit up off the hammock and head back inside. I just want to be wrapped up in one of my mother's ridiculously plush off-brand Snuggies that she orders from the QVC channel. I grab one from the chest where she keeps them and settle on the couch in the living room. My blood feels acidic and fizzy, like it's made of Mountain Dew. My hand is shaking as I tap into my inbox. My thumb freezes over top of Cal's email. Subject line, something I probably should have told you from the beginning. Please. His word echoes in my head. imploring me to read this email, but I don't want to read it. I don't want to know. I'm so far gone on Cal, I can't even see the shore anymore. And honestly, I don't want to. I've never liked someone in this way before. It's unsullied, pure. He's good for me. It's kind of like my whole life I've been craving and indulging in Big Macs. And then one day, the most delicious, nutritious salad comes along. And would you look at that? I want it. More than a Big Mac. But now I'm half a second away from learning that the salad dressing is made of lard and salt, and it's really not good for me anyway. But I digress. The email. Please. I sigh and lower my thumb.
Wait a second. Who is that email from?
I jump out of my skin as my lurker-ass brother looms over the back of the couch and yoinks my phone from my hand. Hey, buttwad, get that back! I lunge over the back of the couch, but the traitorous Snuggie gets caught under my foot, and I end up just kind of aggressively sagging back down. Damn it! This stupid... I'm serious. Give me my phone! He's standing 5 feet away, staring at my phone screen with an absolutely bamboozled expression on his face. He tugs at his brown hair, and it stands up straight, cactus style. An insane laugh bursts out of him.
This is the guy, Vera? Your newest fuckboy?
Give me my phone! I finally wrestle free of the traitorous Snuggie and clear the couch. I attempt to karate chop him right in the moneymaker, but he simply palms my forehead and holds me an arm's length away. My phone he holds over his head. I can see that he hasn't opened the email at least.
Vera, can I ask you something?
He's incredibly calm now, looking like the cat who ate the canary.
Did you ever Google Fred?
I channel Jewel and attempt to scratch his face off.
Vera, God, just quit it a minute and answer my question.
I sag, sadly exhausted. I should probably work out more. No, I never Googled Fred. Why would I? I knew I was never going to date him. He laughs maniacally and holds my phone even higher. You look like a psycho right now. Give me my phone.
Let's go to his Wikipedia page, shall we?
I'm literally going to kill you. Not to sound like a 90s movie, but say your prayers, you twerp. Wait, why does he have a Wikipedia page?
Here we are. His page. I'm going to show it to you, and you need to promise to look. Don't just rip the phone away.
You will truly be lucky if you see the sunrise. He holds my forehead again and turns my phone toward me. It's a Wikipedia page with no photo. I squint at the header. It reads, Frederick Cal Cantola.
I call him Fred because I met him at work and he goes by Frederick or Fred at work. But in his personal life, he goes by his middle name.
I squint again. Cal, it reads, with a K. My heart turns into stone, but spelled with a C when he's in the States. Elliot. He must hear the note of seriousness in my voice because he drops his hand from my forehead. Give me my phone. He hands the phone over, but I don't do anything but stare at nothing for a long moment.
Wait, crap. Vera, I didn't think you'd be this upset. It seemed funny to me, but
Cal is Fred?
Yes.
He lied about who he was?
No. Well.
I think of everything Elliot has ever told me about his dumb friend Fred, who I just had to meet. He's a computer genius. He's the owner of a startup. Elliot's insistence that I try out Fred's company was the entire reason I signed up with Curio in the first place. And the whole time that was Cal? Why the hell is he masquerading as a customer service representative?
He wasn't trying to be deceptive.
This entire time, I've been talking to the CEO of the company?
Really, Vera, he was trying to...
Don't talk right now. I point a finger at him, and it's like I'm brandishing a dagger. He literally lifts his hands up in surrender.
Let me just...
Elliot?
Say one more.
I swear to God...
Read the email, Vera.
How do you know what's in the email?
He's one of my closest friends. I helped him.
This is sick. This is next level, even for you. Tell me the truth. Did you know? Did he?
What? No. Vera, I'm not a good actor. Do you honestly think I had any idea before the last 5 minutes?
I concede that point. Elliot is a horrible actor, and we have approximately 4 hours of home video in the VHS chest downstairs proving that. His Tevye was excruciating.
Read the email, BB. Seriously.
I turn on my heel and head back down to the basement. I need to be somewhere that no one will bother me. My parents never come down here, and I'm positive that my brother will give me space. I collapse onto one of the beanbag chairs and immediately exit out of the Wikipedia page. It feels wrong to read it. I pull up the email again. Subject line: something I probably should have told you from the beginning. I had thought for sure that the thing he should have told me from the beginning was that he had a girlfriend. But this? I was not prepared for this. I tap my thumb down.
Dear Vera, I'm just going to tear the Band-Aid off. I'm actually the CEO of Curio. Okay? Still with me? Still reading? I hope so. My full name is Frederick Cal Cantola. I go by Cal with my family and a couple close friends, but most people call me Frederick. So, why customer service, you might ask? Well, it started about a year ago, actually. I was having issues with the site and feeling frustrated that it was so hard to pinpoint the problems. One of the surest fire ways to identify the issues with the site is to hear straight from the customers. They are basically people who are paying to beta test it, no offense. So I started checking in with my two customer service reps who I employed. They occasionally gave me good intel, but the problem was that I was the CEO. They were both nervous to tell me about the real issues with the site. I'm sure they felt like their jobs might be on the line. I'd never fire an employee for honesty, but there was no way for them to know that. I started listening in on the customer service call recordings. I gleaned more information, but often felt frustrated at the questions that my reps weren't asking. It seemed to me that they were solving many of these issues superficially instead of dealing with the site itself. Of course, I was expecting too much of them to both deal with customers and perform on-call IT services to the site. One of my good friends had the idea of me posing as a customer service rep to get some first-hand knowledge of my site's issues. He also suggested that dealing with customers directly would be good for my social skills. For the most part, I interact with my staff virtually, so most of my time I spend at my house, in my house, alone. He was right that I could use the socializing. So, I started answering customer service calls one day a week. Generally, it's my most dreaded day of the week. I don't think anyone enjoys being yelled at by strangers, but I was being yelled at by strangers because this thing I'd spent years building had apparently failed them. Still, it felt good to solve their issues with the site, so I soldiered on. And then one day, you called. God. Can you believe that first phone call was only on Monday? It already feels like months ago. Maybe because we've already talked more in just a few days than most people do in the first couple months of getting to know one another. I guess what I'm saying is that I'm so grateful that I was the one who answered your call that day. You could have been transferred to either of the other customer service reps, but the automated system transferred you to me. At first, it didn't make sense to tell you who I was because you were a disgruntled customer and I didn't want to make you feel awkward. But then, honestly, I forgot that you didn't already know. Even though Cal is the name that only the people closest to me call me, I use it during the customer service calls because I actively respond to it and because, not to be braggy, but Frederick Cantola is the figurehead of the company. I needed to be more incognito. Over the last year, having strangers call me Cal has become a matter of course. But not with you. It felt different. I felt, over the course of that first phone call, that you were calling me Cal because you really knew me. It was only after we hung up that I worried I might have catfished you. So, why didn't I tell you right away after that? Well, you've been there for all of our conversations. You know how wonderfully off track we can get. And any time I did remember to tell you, well, Vera, I worried that you'd think I'd purposefully lied. And I worried that you'd hang up on me the way you did that first night. You never explained why you bailed so fast at the end of that conversation, and you don't have to. I won't pretend I knew exactly what you were thinking, but I think I get it. At some point, I'll be able to explain everything. But, basically, I think you realized that I was a stranger who you knew nothing about, who might be hiding things from you, or willing to deceive you. I was scared to tell you that I wasn't even a customer service rep, that I was both Frederick and Cal, that I was even more of a stranger than you'd thought. Because, if it's not already painfully obvious, I really like you. I hope we'll keep talking even after your sight is perfectly fixed. Look, I know there's more to say, and more to tell each other, and more to learn about one another. But I don't want to be presumptuous or pressure you. Let me just say that I'm working hard on your sight. I believe in your kick-ass business, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make sure you show up to your expo on Friday completely prepared. If we don't talk before then, that's okay. I'll understand. I'm in no rush. Let me just say one more thing. I hope I'll know you for a long time. Sincerely, Cal, a.k.a. Fred, a.k.a. Frederick, a.k.a. Calcan at Curio, a.k.a. Calcojones 69.
My first reaction is to roll face down into the beanbag and laugh hysterically. And when I say hysterically, I mean it in its truest sense of the word. Not in the way dads in Kiss the Cook Aprons describe Jim Gaffigan's comedy. I mean that I am making hyena noises while emotions I can't identify accordion my heart like a squeeze toy. I only lift my head when it becomes clear that the beanbag chair wants to murder me. I gasp for air and flop backward, staring at the familiar basement ceiling.
Bibi?
Elliot is standing at the top of the basement stairs, calling down warily. He's obviously heard me making the sound a dying alien makes and is now scared to come down here. Good. He should be scared. If you come down here, I'll kick your ass!
Noted.
The basement door closes again. I read Cal's email again, and then one more time. The last few lines are sticky as tar. It takes me as long to read that one sentence, I hope I'll know you for a long time, as it does for me to read the rest of the email. I exit out of my email and bring up my browser. His Wikipedia page is staring at me. I start to read it and immediately exit the page. It feels wrong to research him behind his back. I know that he didn't violate my privacy, because if he had, he would have almost immediately figured out that I'm Elliot's sister. Even a quick perusal of my Instagram would have told him that. And I really don't think he knew. Instead, I go to Google Images and type in Frederick Cantola. But I don't press go. It feels like a dividing line, this Google image search. If I search him, and the first time I see what Cal actually looks like is on a screen, then it will mean that I was simply curious about the customer service guy on the other end of the line. But if I don't Google him, then it means that I'm waiting to meet him in person, to see his face. It'll mean that I want to meet him in person. It'll mean that the first time I see his brown eyes and brown hair, what a poet he is, it'll be because we're standing in front of one another. No phone, no subterfuge, just us. The question is, which do I want? The question hinges on information I don't have. The information I assumed this email was going to give me. The information I dreaded hearing, but now am absolutely dying to hear. Elliot! The basement door creaks open.
Yes?
He sounds like a nervous minion, desperate not to incense his evil overlord. What did you mean when you said that Fred was really into someone? I mean, I think I know, but I don't want to assume and then be an idiot. So just tell me honestly, does he have a girlfriend or not?
But he doesn't have time to answer because my phone rings in my hand.
Cal. I told her that I would wait for her to call me, but it's been half an hour since we hung up, and I know that she's opened the email. I've been standing in the corner of my living room, my hands laced over the top of my head, staring at my phone that hasn't rung for the last 30 minutes, and I'm about to lose my marbles. Frankly, I'm almost grateful for this torture because it's the only thing that's keeping my mind off the fact that I've been 15 blocks away from my father when, in fact, I thought we had the entire Atlantic Ocean between us. You'd think that would be the only thing I could think about at a time like this. But over the last 30 minutes, the composition of my thoughts has shifted from being primarily about my dad to being primarily about Vera. Because she still hasn't called, and I'm pretty much freaking out so hard I'm going to go bald. My phone rings, and I literally vault over my couch, scramble forward, knock the phone off the coffee table, and bang the shit out of my shin on the way down. I land in a heap on my rug, eye to eye with my phone that proudly displays the word, Mom. I groan, and send her call to voicemail. As soon as her message rings through, I listen to it. Hi, honey. Sorry I missed your call. Call me back when you get this. I'll be up for another hour or so. Love you. Earlier, after I'd hung up with Vera, I called my mother. But a ring and a half into that phone call, I realized that I didn't actually want to know whether or not she was aware that Dad was in the States. If she didn't know, then she was going to be as betrayed and pissed as I was. And if she did know, well, let's just say I had no interest in going two for two on parental deceit tonight. I'm crumpled on the floor, listening to a voicemail from my mother, trying desperately not to think about my father, and sweating through a t-shirt while waiting for Vera to call back. This is how Carla finds me.
Cal, honey, is everything all right?
Carla! I sit up too fast and whack my head on the coffee table. Ouch! Damn it! Sorry, I didn't realize you were home.
Got back about an hour ago while you were out.
Didn't mean to disturb you. I'll go to my room. I'm stepping past her, palm to my aching forehead, when she stops me with one hand on my shoulder.
Is this about that girl?
Which girl?
The one you've been talking to at all hours of the night. I don't mean to be nosy. I just wanted to say it's nice to see you so scrambled up. You've always been such a balanced boy.
Thanks.
You should invite her over. I'll make something delicious for you to eat and then make myself scarce.
It's not... I can't finish that sentence. It's not like that. It's not that simple. It's not ever going to happen. God, I hope it's not that last one.
We're still... You're still figuring things out. I get it, sweetie. Don't stay up too late. You'll get premature wrinkles.
She touches her cool palm to my cheek and then disappears back into her room. A minute later, I'm sitting on my bed and deciding I can't take it any longer. I don't want to be a balanced boy. I don't want to never mention to my father that he's a complete and utter asshole for coming all the way across the ocean to my neighborhood and not telling me. I don't want to miss my chance with Vera. I want to be scrambled up. I actually like sweating through my t-shirts. Well, not really, but I like having a reason to sweat through my t-shirts. Look, I waited half my life to have a home, a permanent one where I could really just stay. And maybe I've taken it too far in that direction. I don't want to hide in my apartment anymore. I don't want my phone to be my only connection to the world, to her. Step one, I have to find out how she feels. I pull up her contact info and hit call.
Hi. No, quiet. Get out of here. Go back upstairs.
Vera?
Sorry, not talking to you. I swear to God, I will bleach your hair while you're sleeping tonight if you don't get the hell out of here.
Is everything all right?
Sorry. Yes. My brother was just being annoying.
Oh, you're with your brother?
Yeah. I'm actually at my parents' house for the night. It's closer to the convention center, and he surprised me by coming out to support me.
That's cool of him. Vera.
Yeah?
I'm kind of dying over here.
Right. Okay. I read the email.
You read the email?
Yep.
Okay. So, now you know everything.
Well, not everything.
What do you mean? Vera, are you there?
I don't want to say what it is that I don't know. I'm in my own head about it. And if I say what it is that I don't know, then you'll know exactly why I want to know that, and then things will get so awkward and—
Vera, for the love of God, are you done with me or not?
Done with you?
For catfishing you?
Ha! Cal, you didn't catfish me.
I deceived you about who I was.
Unintentionally. And fairly innocently, I might add. Besides, you tried to tell me. I was the one who didn't read the email.
Right.
I guess it makes a little more sense now. Why people would be sending you threatening emails. You're the head honcho. They want something from you.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the reasons I was so nervous to tell you. People sometimes get weird when they find out.
Because you're a rich genius who made Forbes' 30 Under 30 list?
God, did you Google me?
Wait, what? You really did make that list? I was just teasing you.
So you didn't Google me?
No, Cal. I didn't Google you.
Why?
I don't know. I guess it felt wrong to learn stuff secondhand.
Well, I'm an open book. Seriously, anything you want to know, I'll tell you. No more secrets, I swear. God, I'm so relieved you're not mad at me.
So you didn't Google me either?
How do you know?
I'm assuming if you did, you'd already know one extremely pertinent piece of information about me.
What's that?
Ooh. Maybe I should wait to tell you. It's almost too good to spoil it.
What? No.
It'll be your penance for making me think you were customer service, Cal. Wait a second. I just realized something.
What's that?
I just realized that every time we were talking to your manager who secretly listens to the customer service phone calls, we were actually talking about you.
Oh.
Cal, your manager.
I guess technically that's true.
Wow. How many rabbit holes does our relationship have? This thing goes all the way to the top.
Vera, I've got to say, you're really taking this whole thing a lot better than I expected.
You should have heard the sound I made when I read your email.
Make it now so I can hear it.
Absolutely not. I'd prefer to retain the image of a calm and collected, suave and debonair woman.
You think of that as the image you usually put off?
Ha ha. Let's just say I'll never willingly make that sound again as long as I live.
You were upset then?
Upset? When I first found out? Yes. But then I read the email, and now I'm just more mixed up than anything else. And nervous. Are you nervous? I feel like I swallowed a bunch of jumping beans.
Wait, what do you mean, when you first found out? Isn't the email the way you first found out?
Oh, right. Well, remember that thing you'd definitely know about me if you'd Googled me?
The one you're withholding for your own amusement, of course.
Well, it's pretty pertinent to how I found out that you're actually Frederick Cantola.
Vera.
Hold on. The email thing was a good idea. I'll just write it down and you can read it and—
Vera.
Okay, I'll tell you. But I'm warning you, your mind is about to be blown. It's not my fault if you have to stare into nothingness for the next hour.
You're enjoying this, aren't you? The power has completely sullied your integrity.
Buckle your seatbelt, Cal.
I'm ready.
No, you're not, but I'll tell you anyway.
For the love of all that is holy, just tell me.
Cal, do you happen to know my last name off the top of your head?
Sure, it's... Oh, wait, I don't know your last name.
It's Hoffman.
Okay.
That doesn't illuminate anything for you?
Not unless you're trying to tell me that your father is Dustin Hoffman.
No. My father is Neil Hoffman and has unfortunately never won an Oscar.
Neil Hoffman? I know that name.
Almost there. You've almost got it.
Hold on.
There it is.
No.
Yep.
Are you telling me that...
Elliot's my brother.
No.
Really?
He's
upstairs in our parents' kitchen right this very second.
You've gotta be...
I could put him on the line if you need proof.
That's not... But Elliot's sister's name is B.
Oh, now it makes sense how you didn't put the pieces together. I was starting to get offended that maybe my big bro, like, never talked about me to you. To clarify, my nickname was BB growing up, because that's what Elliot always called me when I was a baby. His widow BB sister. He and my dad are the only ones who still call me B. Cal, you there? Have you expired on the spot from shock?
You're the one with your ponytail caught in your braces.
What?
You said that your brother had a bad picture of you framed on his wall, and I'm just now putting two and two together. You're the one with your ponytail caught in your braces. Vera, are you all right?
Oh, I'm fine. Just aspirating my own humiliation. I can't believe you've seen that photo.
Well, I've known Elliot a long time.
You've seen that horrible photo before you've even met me in person. This is such awful news.
I can't believe you're B.
I can't believe you're Fred.
Oh, so, geez, when you found out who I was, you were finding out that not only was I Frederick Cantola, I was also one of your brother's closest friends?
One he's talked about for years. Before this, you were basically a mythical creature to me.
This is a lot.
Remember the hyena screaming I was doing earlier? Feel free to partake if you need. I'll wait.
Wait, does Elliot know yet?
Yeah. He was the one who figured it out. And then I got upset and he realized it wasn't a joke and gave me my phone back. And then I read the email and got less upset and a lot more mixed up. And then you called. So, here we are.
You said he gave you your phone back. Did Elliot read the email?
No. He just saw the email address that it was from and put the pieces together.
Okay. I should probably call him at some point.
So far, this conversation is way more about Elliot than I would like. This always happens. He gets involved and then everything is about him. You and I, Cal, we've got our own thing going, remember?
We do. We definitely do. I'm just a slow processor for this kind of thing.
And gosh, you've already had a hell of a night for surprising news. I'm sorry, Cal. I'm being insensitive by getting so much glee out of this. I should have just told you straight out.
No. It's really nice to have something to take my mind off of all that, to be honest. I think I'm just trying to remember everything I said about you to Elliot. I think I'm in for about 3 years of teasing from him.
Yeah, me too. You know how long he's been trying to... What do you mean, everything you told him about me? You told him about me when I was just an anonymous customer service caller?
I mean, I mentioned you when you were just Vera, if that's what you mean.
Mentioned is not the same as telling him everything.
Can we go back to talking about not what I told Elliot about you? Hey, I just remembered. A while ago, you said that the reason you used Curio to build your website was because your brother forced you to. So that was Elliot, huh?
I wouldn't say forced.
You said he pressured you, and that you wished you just used Squarespace like a normal person. What's happening now? Are you aspirating another emotion?
I'm just running through all the terrible things I've said about Curio. Oh my god. If I'd known that you'd conceived and built the entire site, I would have found a nicer way to say it all.
Vera, this is why I do customer service incognito. This exact reason. Because I need real feedback on the site. When people know who I am, all they do is compliment it, and then the site never improves.
So, in a way, I helped you by relentlessly insulting your site?
At least you did it to my face and not in the online reviews. Hey.
Yeah?
I just remembered something else.
What's that?
You said that Elliot wanted you to use Curio because he'd used it and liked it, but also because there was another reason.
Oh. Right.
And that reason was basically because he didn't want you to choke on a chicken bone and have no one to find your carcass for weeks.
You have an irritatingly sharp memory.
What did you mean by that? I mean, I would have assumed that Elliot's other reason was that he wanted to support my site, but I don't see what that has to do with you choking on a chicken bone.
Oh. Well, this is embarrassing. Maybe let's just forget about it.
I'm too curious to forget about it. This is the most flustered I've ever heard you. You have to tell me now.
Cal.
I'm invoking the traitorous dad card. Papa already broke my heart. Vera, please don't keep secrets.
Wow.
You gotta tell me.
Oh, fine. But this is Elliot making things awkward, not me, okay?
Okay.
Basically, Elliot thinks I'm going to end up an old maid. He's a hypocrite, really, because he never likes anyone I date, but when I'm single, he's always worried that I'll die alone.
Why would he possibly care so much about your dating status?
He's a mother hen, and he doesn't want me to be alone. He likes for me to have company.
But he loves spending time by himself.
I know. Like I said, a hypocrite. He has a fear of loneliness. But, like, my loneliness. It's kind of sweet if you squint.
So what did that have to do with you signing up for Curio?
Okay, here's the embarrassing part.
Hit me.
Well, for the last couple of years, especially since me and Gio broke up, Elliot has been on and on about his friend Fred and how good he thought we'd be together.
Oh.
Yep. And how his friend Fred is a genius who invented a whole website building service that's the coolest thing ever, and he's such a nice guy and creative and handsome and blah, blah, blah. And finally, I was like, put a cork in it about this Fred loser already.
Huh.
And so Elliot promised that he'd lay off about it if I just used Curio. He thought that if I saw how creative and intuitive and interesting this site was, I might want to meet the man who was behind the whole thing.
And you didn't want to tell me that before?
Of course not. I thought you were customer service, Cal. Why would I ever make things awkward by mentioning that my brother wanted to set me up with your boss's boss's boss? That would have been super weird.
I can see that.
So, anyway, that's the whole awkward story. The end. I'll go die now.
Don't go die.
Why aren't you responding?
Because I'm processing this information.
Well, give me some window into your thought process. I'm curling into a mortified raisin over here.
Elliot called me handsome.
That's what you took from all that?
He was just really talking me up is all.
He's a salesman for sure.
He mentioned that to me a few times as well.
That you're handsome?
No, that he had a sister who might be a good match for me.
And you never took him up on his generous offer? I'm hurt.
You never took him up on the offer either.
That's because Elliot had quite a way of describing you. Let's see. What are some things that Elliot told me about Fred over the years? Oh, I know. Will you play me something on your flute?
He told you about the flute.
He sure did.
And that didn't make you immediately want to date me? You weren't clamoring for my phone number?
He also told me about your rock collection.
God, Elliot, way to lead with the sexiest attributes. Apparently he's a terrible wingman.
So, you're confirming the existence of a rock collection?
It's a rocks and gems collection, to be exact, and it's actually kind of cool. I got interested in it as a kid when I found this special kind of rock behind my dad's house. After that, I wanted to learn more about geology.
That actually does sound cool. What did he tell you about me?
Nothing, really, just that he wanted us to meet.
And that was enough to nix the idea for you?
I mean, first of all, I didn't want to mess anything up with Elliot. He's a really good buddy, and crashing and burning with someone's sister is the fastest way to make things awkward. Also...
Also?
Also, I kind of hate being the guy that people set up with their sisters. It's, happened to me before, and it might seem like a compliment, but it's not really.
What do you mean? Doesn't it mean that that person really trusts you?
Yeah, sure, but if people want to set you up with their sisters, it also means that you're a certain type of person.
A sister dater?
Yeah, a 401k contributing, under the speed limit driving, multivitamin chomping sister dater.
Uh-huh. And Elliot had you all wrong because you don't do any of those things?
I mean, technically, yes, I do all of those things. Sometimes I just wish I were...
Bruce Willis in Die Hard?
Well, when you say it like that, it sounds stupid.
No, I didn't mean that disparagingly. I think we all fall prey to that kind of thinking at some point or another. Just the other morning, I was pretending I was in a rom-com. You know, perfect clothes, charmingly clumsy, dealing with problems that could be solved in under 90 minutes.
Actually, now that you mention it, the rom-com thing sounds better than the die-hard thing. In rom-coms, you don't have to walk over broken glass.
All right then, Cal. Instead of a 401k contributing slow-ass driver, who would the movie version of you be?
The movie version of Cal would have become a lawyer. Environmental law. I'd be stopping greedy corporations from polluting the earth one lawsuit at a time.
Now we're talking. Dun-dun!
What was that?
What was what?
Dun-dun.
Oh, that's the Law and Order noise.
Right. Of course. How could I have missed that?
Stay on track. What else would movie Cal do?
Honestly, Jewel would probably be a dog. One who could catch frisbees in the park.
Cute.
One day, he'd catch the wrong frisbee, and I'd meet a nice woman who could make me laugh.
Would your dogs fall in love?
Definitely. And because of that, we'd have no choice but to see each other again. One day, I'd cook her a meal in my incredible kitchen, and she'd feed me the last bite of dessert.
And then what happens? You left out all the juicy parts.
What juicy parts?
The bow chicka wow wow.
Exactly what kind of movie do you think I was describing?
I mean, throwing frisbees in the park? You'd probably be shirtless. And then she's seductively feeding you the last bite of ice cream? Come on, this is majorly porny.
Well, I guess if that were my persona, then I wouldn't have to deal with the sister dating problem anymore. That was fun. What would movie Vera do?
Movie Vera would definitely be a writer. I'd write the next Gone Girl and use the money to travel the world. I'd get really into rock climbing and base jumping. I'd meet a plucky old woman while eating alone at a Michelin-starred restaurant in Tokyo. And one day I'd find out that she'd left me everything in her will. I follow her last request to me, to track down her long-lost grandson that no one has ever been able to find before. I find him. He's super hot. We totally fall in love. But something isn't quite right. I hire a PI and find out that the grandson is just using me to get his hands on his grandmother's inheritance. That's the last he ever hears from me. I blow dodge. The last shot is me chalking my hands at the base of a gigantic cliff face. Oh, wait, did I mention that I'd injured myself in a fall earlier in the movie? Well, I did. But now, after my incredible emotional journey, I've learned that I won't be able to trust anyone else unless I trust myself first. I start climbing. The sun catches on the camera lens, blotting everything out. The end.
Wow. I have never met anyone else like you, Vera.
Cal?
Yeah?
How would Movie Cal deal with this situation with your dad?
Ugh.
Was that nosy? I didn't mean to be nosy.
No, it's not nosy. It's a really good question, which is probably why I don't want to answer it.
You don't have to answer.
No, I will. Just let me think for a second. Okay. If my life were a movie, I'd go back to that address and wait on the front steps for my dad to get back from wherever he was going. I'd ask him why the hell he was in the States and why the hell he was keeping it a secret from me. I'd tell him that I spent half of my life split between two homes and that I was constantly homesick for one parent or the other, and the fact that he could be here without telling me is so incredibly painful to me. I tell him that it hurts on an adult level and hurts on a childhood level. I tell him that he needs to apologize to me, and mean it. I tell him that he needs to visit me more. And then, in the movie, he'd cry and say I was right and give me a huge hug and apologize and make plans to visit at Christmas. And before he got on the plane back to Finland, he'd call from the airport to tell me he loved me. And that he was glad we were in the same city, even if it was just for a few more minutes. Is that embarrassing? I feel like that's embarrassing. Ugh.
That's not embarrassing. At all. Your dad's a dick. You want an explanation and an apology. And then you want him to do better. That all sounds completely reasonable to me. But here's the thing.
Oh, boy.
You can't control what your dad's gonna do. He might surprise you. Sometimes people do. Elliot surprised me tonight by coming out to support me. But more than likely, your dad'll react however you'd predict he's gonna react. The only thing you can actually control is what you do in this situation.
Right.
Cal, is there really anything keeping you from being the movie version of yourself?
Well, I mean, showing up again to that address is probably not the best idea, considering that someone, maybe my dad, has threatened violence if I don't pay them money.
Right, right. So, not that part. But the rest? Telling him he owes you an apology? Explaining why it was painful? Explaining more about why your situation growing up had lasting effects? Is there any world where you could see yourself actually doing that?
At the risk of sounding like the sister dater again, well, it would be extremely out of character for me. Besides that teenage year I threw a fit and made everyone's lives miserable, I pretty much never object to my parents. Like I said, we just smooth everything over as best as we can.
Maybe it's time to break the habit?
Oh, shit, is that the time? Is it midnight already?
Oh, yes. Wow, I really have to go to bed.
And I have to finish your site.
Oh my gosh, it totally slipped my mind. Is it going to be finished in time?
If I go right now and don't stop, I can finish it.
Oh, I wish you didn't have to work through the night. But also, Cal, finish my site. The future of my business may just depend on it.
Hey, Vera.
Yeah?
If I don't get to talk to you before the expo opens, maybe you should be the movie version of yourself tomorrow as well.
Go rock climbing and befriend an elderly woman?
Ha, always. No, I meant that you should kick ass and take names. That's the kind of character that you described. Someone who feels capable and self-sufficient. As a third-party observer, I've got to say, you have literally every skill required to meet this challenge head-on. If I had to choose from 10,000 people to go there tomorrow and sell the crap out of Date in a Box, I'd choose you every time.
Thanks, Cal.
Knock him dead.
Bye, Cal.
Bye, Vera.
Chapter 12. Little bit more of Thursday night, and then finally Friday morning. Vera. I hang up the phone and needle the corner of it into my forehead. For a solid 2 minutes, I lie in the beanbag chair and consider calling him back, getting it out of the way. I could ask the whole thing in one long breath. Who is the woman who lives with you, and are you into me? I chickened out on the phone call simply because asking is going to show him my hand. The only reason a person would ask those questions would be if she were into him. So as soon as I ask, he's going to know. Would that be so bad? Maybe not at another time. But right now, hours before the biggest professional engagement of my life, maybe I wait to base jump off an emotional cliff until after the expo. I drag my exhausted, wrung-out carcass out of the beanbag chair, which is harder than it sounds. Those things basically eat you alive. I'm up the stairs to my childhood bedroom. I pause outside of my brother's room, knocking lightly and then creaking the door open a crack. He's asleep in a pile on top of his covers. He's been sleeping like that since he was a little kid. Some people sleep in neat lines, their hands folded over their stomachs. Not Elliot. He sleeps like he just got tossed onto the side of the road, in an absolute scramble. I close the door quietly and frown. I briefly consider waking him up and demanding every bit of insider intel on Cal. But no, I'm pivoting, remember? I'm not thinking about Cal and his dating status until after the expo. I'm focusing on date in a box and only date in a box. After I'm brushed and washed and pajamaed, I fall into bed and stare at the poster of Edward Cullen I taped over my bed in high school. It's gonna be a long night, Edward. There's no way I'm gonna fall asleep with all this adrenaline in my veins. But it's not a long night at all. The next thing I know, my phone alarm is beeping at me. I sit up, and as usual, my blankets barely look disturbed, but my hair is an absolute haystack. What a mystery. I look up at my poster. Only Edward knows the secrets of the night. I can't wait another second and grab my computer from my bag next to my bed. My heart races in my throat for altogether way too long as my page loads. My parents seriously need to upgrade their Wi-Fi. I click through my site quickly. Everything looks perfect. Gorgeous. Full working. Damn it! The questionnaire section is still just a jumble of alien script. But that's okay. It's only 5:30 in the morning, and technically I don't need it to work until 8 a.m. Cal can do it. Fred can do it. The sister dater is on the case. If only he were the sister dater. I shower and take extra care with my morning routine, getting my hair and makeup just right. After all, I'm the most important part of my brand. I carefully pull on my suit. When I first signed up for the expo, I spent a few frantic days combing through New York City consignment shops, convinced that hidden on a rack somewhere was a perfect vintage Dior pantsuit, just waiting to fit like a glove. After many, obviously fruitless, searches, I just went to Ann Taylor like a normal person and bought a perfectly fine light gray pantsuit. Today, I fancy it up with a colorful silk vest underneath and some good jewelry and a pair of green heels that'll have me in traction by the end of the day. I don't care. I look great. Honestly, I kind of look like movie Vera. Cal was right. I need to channel her today. I'm going to kick ass and take names. It's 6:30 now, so I check my site again. I hold back a wince when it's still not fixed. That's okay. Cal is not going to let me down. I head downstairs and try not to let my frustration show when both my parents are already in the kitchen. They're never up this early, and I'd really been counting on having a quick, contemplative breakfast before I head to the venue. Instead, my mom is cooking up a full fry while my dad dices up fruit for a salad and listens to NPR. Oh, Bibi, you're up early. I was just about to go knock on your door. My dad's jaw is on the floor that his 30-year-old daughter has managed to wake up on her own. Of course I'm awake. I have to be at the venue in 20 minutes. Oh, do you have time for breakfast? If not, I can just pack it up to go. My heart softens as I watch my mother over the stove, her spatula balanced in the air as she waits for my answer.